produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
The fifth book of Moses, and we're at chapter 5. So let's jump into it. It's just a review, people. It's just a review. So I do not have to do a lot of intensive teaching, because we're just going to review the chapters as written and pull out the review. As I stated earlier, this is Moses' review and expands the law for the new generation. It's his second address of Moses, which is the tail end of chapter 4, which we've already discussed. 1 through 4 is this first address of the people. Now, chapter 5, the end of chapter 4, very last section, and chapter 5 starts the second address of Moses, okay? And remember, as I stated, this is things that you already know, we have already reviewed, have already taught, okay? But Moses is saying it from a different heart. He's saying it, for one, to people that may or may not have heard this passed down from generation to generation, because they have went through the wilderness wandering season of the time of the children of Israel. The new generation or young generation was not around or was not old enough to get all of these teachings. So he's restating the teachings before they enter into the land of Canaan, before they enter into the promised land that God has promised the people, the children of Israel, that they would inherit. So he had to put in their mind fresh the rules, the regulations, the expectations, the commandments to the people before they enter into the promised land and receive their promise. Let me say it again, for the 500th time, God is forming his great nation, his nation unto himself, but you have to have three components is what he was forming: the people, the law, and the land. Without one, they are not the great nation that God has formed them to be. Okay, so the people grew to over 2.5 million during the Exodus and brought them out of Egypt. He gave them the rules, regulations, the commandments, the 10 commandments, really 600 odd commandments of how they should govern their lives. Now, out of all the trial and tribulations, now they're about to enter into the promised land. Okay, so that's where we are. Moses gave the first address in chapter 1 through 4. Now he's giving the second address. Okay. And you will see in your outline, for those of you guys that have the notes ahead of time, it is a series of exhortations, which starts chapter 5 all the way through chapter 11. Okay. So let's jump on chapter 5. Okay. Let's jump on chapter 5. Everybody viewing through YouTube, take a second, hit that subscribe button, like, share, comment, hit the notifications bell. Amen. Okay. Chapter 5 starts off, people, and we're going to flow straight down the book, so don't change the page. Okay, it's the 10 Commandments reviewed. I will always say, get you a study Bible so it will give you headings, okay? The 10 Commandments reviewed. Here you see Moses speaking to the people and the second address to the people. So if you look at the Ten Commandments reviewed, you see, he's talking to the children of Israel, and Moses called all of Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." And he speaks of the covenant. And he says in verse 6, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Verse 7, "You shall have no other gods before me." God is a jealous God, people. That's still to this day. "You shall have no other gods before me," little g gods, okay? "You shall put nothing before God." He is a jealous God. Verse 8, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, no statues, and worship those statues." We have images in our in some churches and some denominations, even yet today, where they look to and pray to these images. And God said, no. I would be fearful to not have anything in the church but the cross, the empty cross. Okay? A lot of churches still have a cross with an image on it. I would be very careful to only have a cross, because he's not, our Messiah, our Savior is not on the cross. He was risen. So the cross should be empty. But this is saying no carved images, no carved images. Okay? "Do not bow down or serve them." Verse 9 says, "For your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers among the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." If you worship or have carved images, God says you hate him. Okay? Be mindful not to do that. Don't worship money. Don't worship images. Don't put anything idolatry above God. Okay? Worship God and God alone. Look at verse 11. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord would not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Okay? We have people that curse with God's name in it on a consistent basis. You should not do that. God's name is holy. God's name is so holy and should be referenced so highly that the writers of the early Bibles did not want to put Yahweh, his formal name, in the Bible because they reverence his name to be so holy. When you see in this part of the Bible where it says the Lord, the L-O-R-D, that is translated Yahweh, the Most High God, the Creator God. His name is just that holy that the writers or scribers of the Bible did not want to put his proper name in the Bible. They knew you would study and translate the Hebrew, which most of us don't, and then you would know that the Lord is translated Yahweh. So that's why the proper name is not listed in those writings, and these writings that we have in front of us, King James, New King James, NLT, and all these things, is not listed because his name is just that holy. But we should have enough research with us now to where we can look and see what his proper name is. It was in the Hebrew, okay? Yahweh, Jesus Christ's proper name, Yeshua. That's in the Hebrew. That's not saying anything wrong or bad or speaking in tongues or nothing like that. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew, and we should do translations to see that, okay? So Jesus is just a translated name. Transliterated name. It went through all of these languages to get to English where we are now, and that's why it's Jesus. But it's Yeshua. Okay? So you will hear me say that all throughout these lessons. Yahweh, Yeshua. Okay? Yahweh is the Lord, the Most High God. Yeshua is the Son. Okay? Here we go. Okay? Verse 12. "Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord has commanded you." People argue and fuss over the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. That is a commandment of God. God himself rested on the seventh day. Now, I said it in the previous lesson. Our tradition says to rest on Sunday. You would not find that in the Bible. It says to rest on the seventh day. So we should research what the seventh day is and rest on that day. Okay? what we should be focused on is dedicating a day out of our week as the Sabbath and to keep it holy and to do no work on that day. Okay? That's what should be important. That's what should be important. And it should be important to worship God every day. Okay? But this is ceasing of work. Okay? Ceasing of work. Guys, don't hold me to such a high regard that I can't mispronounce things or missay things. I can always catch myself. I'm just human, okay? Just as you are. Let's move forward, okay? I'm going to make mistakes and clarify it. You know, verse 13 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on that seventh day, you should keep it holy unto God, okay? God wants that. He commands that. Verse 16, honor your mother and your father, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days will be long and that it may be well with you in the land which your Lord is giving you. Okay? People are not perfect, guys. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, aunties, sons, daughters, no one is perfect. There are people that do a lot of wrong things, but what God is saying, just still respect them. Okay. Reverence them, respect them, honor them. It clearly says just honor them. Okay. They may do all the wrong in the world from one extent to another. You got the greatest father and mother out there to the worst father and mother out there. Okay. You have deadbeat dads, deadbeat mothers, deadbeat whatever, aunts, uncle, whatever the case is. Okay. So my thing is you cannot control the actions of someone else. But if you have a mother or a father, then it says to honor them. So you honor them. They are held accountable for their actions by God. Okay. It's your job to just honor them. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to how can I put this not to offend anyone? It does not mean that if someone does all of these things wrong, you have to put up with that or deal with that. Okay. What it means is that you honor them. Don't worry about what they are doing. They are held accountable for their actions. You honor them regardless whether y'all have a relationship or not. Okay. You honor them. And that's what you're held accountable for, to just honor them or to respect them. Okay. All right. Verse 17. And you see that the knots, you shall not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, bear false witness against your neighbor. You should not covet your neighbor's house. Okay. Do not desire your neighbor's house, his wife, his anything, his donkeys, his oxen, his cattle, his crops. Don't covet it. Okay. Don't covet that. Don't be jealous of someone else. What God has blessed someone else with, if it is for you to have that blessing, you can have that blessing. God is no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he can do for another. So just enact your faith. Faith without works is dead. Enact your works. And whatever God wants to bless you with, he will bless you with. Okay? So moving right along, it says, look at the next section. It says, verse 23, the people afraid of God's presence. The people afraid of God's presence. Okay, 1 through 22 was just simply talking about the commandments that they were given on the mount that they have already discussed extensively, that we have discussed extensively, that Moses is given to a new generation. But his heart is that, remember, let me make sure to say this, that he knows that he's going to perish, okay? So he's making sure that he tell the people, the new generation, okay, so that they would be able to live by these things. Okay, so his heart is different. How he's talking is different. That's all it is. So look at the next section in the same chapter, chapter 5, verse 23. So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. Surely this happened, okay? We heard it ourselves. That generation heard it themselves, but yet, even with that, they still lived. So 25 says, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord, our God, anymore, that we shall die. They was fearing the presence or the voice of God because it was that holy, that powerful, okay? For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? You should get from this that they are acknowledging how perfect, how special they are, not perfect, how special they are. That God is doing this for them. And they did not die. So they're fearful of this. 27, you go near, speaking to Moses, you go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. They were fearful of the voice. They said, Moses, you go, and then you tell us what God is saying. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words and spoke to me, me being Moses, said, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you, Moses. They are right in all that they have spoken. They should fear my voice. They should fear my presence. And anyone in my presence that's that close to my presence should be consumed. But I spared them so that they will hear the glory of the Lord. And reverence me, is what he is saying. Verse 29, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children now, just now, right? No, forever. So they could pass down from generation to generation that our people, our nation, and our nation only heard the voice of the Lord. And everything that he did for us. And it should be passed down from generation to generation. But guess what? You had a generation of people that were consumed by the anger of God for their disobedience in the wilderness. Okay? So all of these things are being restated. Verse 30, go and say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, Moses, stand here by me. Large M, me, God, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which you shall teach them, and they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess, the promised land, the third element of forming a great nation. But as for you, stand by me. I love that. Okay. Verse 32, therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord has commanded you to do. You should not turn aside to the left hand or to the right. Narrow is the walk, my people. Narrow is the path. Okay? That enters into righteousness. Don't go left or right. Stay with the commands that I have given you. Verse 33, to close it out, you shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live. Listen to that. That you may live. And that it may be well with you, a well life, and that you may prolong your days a long life. Oh, my God, for one, you should live well, you should have long life, long days, and in the land which you shall possess, you shall reap the benefits. Just walk in the ways that the Lord has commanded you. You see how simple that is? Obey what I've taught you. But we're going to see that did not happen, okay? We're going to see. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, that takes care of 5. Okay, now we're at chapter 6, the greatest commandment. And like I said, flow with me. Keep your Bibles open. Even if you're viewing for YouTube, get your Bible and keep it open. This is just a review, so we're going to just walk down the scriptures, okay? We're going to just walk down the scriptures. I've taught all of this already in detail. Go and look at the previous 40-some-odd sessions, okay? The greatest commandment, the greatest commandment. Now, you should already know what the greatest commandment is. We've already did it. Now, verse one says, now, this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. He keeps saying that over and over again. I'm teaching you these things so that you can get it right and stay right as you are about to reap the benefits and reap the promise that God has before you. All these years, all these generations, you're about to possess the land. Okay? You're about to possess the land. So get it right and keep it right. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, Yah, hallelujah. We say it all the time. Halle, praise, Lu is you, praise you, Yah is the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High praise. Why do we say that? Because that's actually saying it correctly. Hallelujah, praise ye, Yah, Yahweh, the Most High God. Okay? I'm going to keep drilling that in your head. In your prayer, say Yah, say Yahweh, the Most High God. Okay? Hear, O Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, our God, okay? Your God is what it's saying. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That is the greatest commandment, okay? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Speak of these commandments daily, in the morning, in at night, when you sit over your meal, when you sit over your dinner. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be as frontlets between your eyes. It should always be in the forefront of your brain. That does not mean to write it on your head. That means that you should always have it in the forefront of your brain. You should also write it. They had headbands and things like that, that the priests had, and things were inscribed on them, okay? This word should always be in front of you, should always be on your mind. So look at 10, verse 10, same chapter. Your new subheading says, caution against disobedience. We're building here, okay? We're building. The theme of this whole book is blessings and cursings. Blessings if you obey, cursings if you don't. You got to get that in your brain, okay? They have no excuse not to obey, because look at all these addresses that Moses is taking time before he died to bleed his heart out to these people and to tell the children of Israel what to do and what not to do. Caution against disobedience. Verse 10. So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the great patriarchs, okay, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, blessings of things that you did not work for yourself, oh my God, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out walls which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware. Uh-oh, here we go. Verse 12. Beware that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and gave you all of these blessings from the house of bondage. All of these things we speak of, you did not work for, but God gave them to you. The Most High gave them to you. So don't forget where your blessings come from. Don't spite the hand that feeds you or have fed you and will feed you in the future. Verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name, and no name other than that. Let me add, you shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. And it says it again, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. This is still to this day. God is a jealous God. All of these gods that are being worshiped here today, and you can look around everywhere, people worshiping everything but the Most High God. He is a jealous God, and punishment will rain down, and you will see that. You see that on a daily basis. So you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempt him in Massa. Okay? Massa. 17, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. He's talking to the new generation that you should not tempt him as your fathers and grandfathers did previously and not honor the commands of God and disobey God, okay? You shall not do that. Verse 18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good of the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Verse 19, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. All you have to do is obey the commands of God. He will provide for you, he will keep you healthy, and he will fight all of your banners, your battles, and be your banner, your victory banner. How hard is that? The Lord will do everything. All you have to do is obey his word. So why can't we hold on to that today? It said from generation to generation, forever is what it said. So if things aren't coming to fruition for us, how about we just obey God? How about we just obey his commands and his statutes and his laws? And then watch things start coming to fruition in our lives. That's what the word says. It's not my opinion. That's what the word says. Okay? Simple and plain. So if things aren't right in your life, how about you get back to honoring God and God's commands? Love him with all your heart, your soul, and your being. Honor his words. And it goes on to say, Jesus repeated to say that you have to love your brother and your sister as yourself as well. Take it a step further. Love God and love his children, period. 18, I can't remember if I said this or not. And you should do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go on and possess the good of the land. Right, verse 19, to cast out all your enemies from before you. I said that. He will fight your battles and keep you well. Okay, look at 25. Then it will be righteous for us. Then it will be righteous for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. It will be righteous for us. We just have to be careful to honor God's word that he has drilled in our head over and over and over and over and over again. And some of you are saying, why do we have to go over this again? Let's skip over this, Rev. No, we can't. Because now when you get to the cursings, then you're going to say they deserved it. They deserved it because they have been taught this over and over and over again. Okay? So they deserve it. Come on in. I see you. Come on in. So look. Chapter 7 deals with a chosen people. And we already know who that is, the Israelites, the Hebrews. But, a chosen people. Chapter 7. Let's flow through this. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you. What nations? He lists the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. When you go into the land and God cast out these nations and allow you to have victory over these nations. But look at what it says. And look, remember the heart of Moses right now. Okay. He's pleading with these people. I'm going to die. I'm not going to cross over the promised land. God would allow me to see it, but I'm not going to cross over into it. So before I die, I'm begging you, get it right, keep it right. I always say, if I got it right, I don't have to get it right. So get it right and keep it right, okay? Is what Moses is saying to the people, okay? So look at this. Verse 2, chapter 7. You shall conquer them, these seven nations, this spoke of in verse 1, and utterly destroy them, everything about them. And you shall make no covenant or agreement with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. Oh, my God. No intermarrying. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor their, or take their daughter for your son. For why? For means why. Explanation. For they will turn your sons away from following me. So don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Amen. Amen, cousin. We have people on. Amen, cousin. Greetings to all of you that are viewing, that are listening to the line and viewing. God blessings be upon you. Amen. Thank you, cousin. And look, this is a laid back line. This is a Zoom line that we're family on here, all of us. If you guys are sending me comments and I see it, I may mention it. If you want to text me comments, I will mention it sometimes. That's okay. Feel free to do that. That doesn't stop the teaching. I love that encouragement. Thank you. Okay. Now, God is saying here that I'm going to destroy these nations mightier than you. But don't intermarry with them. Okay, I always tell you, connect the dots, right? Why? Why does he not want them marrying or intermarrying with these other nations? Simple as I can put it, Jesus is coming from this line. Jesus is coming from the Israelites, specifically the tribe of Judah. Okay? So you have to keep this nation holy. As holy as possible. They're not holy, but be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? So he's keeping, that's why they have the commandments and laws and everyone else do not. Everyone else is worshiping pagan gods. Jesus can't come from those lines, those nations of people. Okay? Simple and plain. That's the explanation. That's all your theory combined of hours of theological study is just that simple. Okay? It's just that simple. Jesus has to come from this line, so you got to keep it holy, okay? And I'm giving you the land to possess. You got to keep yourself holy. You're not perfect. Holy doesn't mean perfect, okay? You're not perfect. Only Jesus, only the triune God is perfect. No one else is, okay? So don't marry them. Don't intermarry with them because they will cause you to fall, for they will turn your sons, verse 4, away from following me. To serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. I'm not changing my word. Your fathers and your forefathers were destroyed because they turned their back on me. It's the same rule going to apply to you. Okay? I'm a jealous God. But God, you cannot want God. God is fair and just. You can't say, honor your promise and bless me when I'm obedient, but think that he's not the same just God that will punish you when you're not when you're not obedient, when you are disobedient. Okay? He's a just and honorable God. Blessings and cursings. That's what all Deuteronomy is about. Okay? So it even says, you shall destroy their altars. And believe, remember, this is the people that they will conquer when they cross over into the promised land. Rid everything in the promised land that is pagan devil worshiping. Okay, writ the entire land of it is what he's saying. I underlined and highlighted and bold typed. Okay, the next verses that I'm about to speak. Those of you guys that don't have the notes, is this important? Okay, look at verse 6 in your Bible. Look at every word of it. For you are a holy people to the Lord Yahweh, your God. I'm not the God of everybody else. I'm your God. The Lord, your God, has chosen you to be a people for himself, capital H, God, a special treasure among all the peoples on the face of the earth. People, that still holds true today. You still fall under the Abrahamic covenant, what God is bringing to pass. That is you, people, that are listening to me. That's you, okay? That's you. You are a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. Yes, we're going to get detailed out who he's talking about, but if you are saved, if you are a follower of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, if Jesus is your Messiah and your Savior, he's talking to you. You are a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the earth. But contextually, right now, the content of what we are saying is he's speaking to the children of Israel. Let me be clear. He's not talking to everybody else. He's speaking to the children of Israel. Verse 7. I'm getting excited. Let me calm down. Okay. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, comma, for you were the least of all peoples, semicolon. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. It's nothing that you have done. It's all on God. He receives all the praise, the glory, and the honor for everything that he's done for you and does for us. Okay? He swore this oath to your fathers. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the only God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him, not everybody, but those who love him and keep his commandments. That's the qualifier right there. You are called unto him. You have to love him and you have to keep his commandments. So then he will keep his covenant and his mercy be upon you and his grace is upon you for 1,000 generations. It's just that simple. Verse 10, same chapter. And it goes both ways. Look at verse 10. He repays those who hate him, but not only He repays them to their face, to destroy them. Now, when I had a horrible attitude growing up, I would tell people, if I got something to say, I'm going to say it to your face. If I got something to do to you, I'm going to do to your face. It's not about trying to tear you down and destroy you to other people and you hear about it. If I got a problem with you, we're going to talk about it face to face. You got a problem with me. We're going to talk about it face to face. I'm not like that anymore, guys. That was old court, okay? But God is saying, to your face, I will destroy you. I will repay that hate to your face. He will not be slack with those who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You see how many times he said that? What is God saying? I am a just God. Blessings and cursings. I do it both ways, to be honest about it and to be fair about it. He's a fair God. Okay? 11. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, the judgments, which I command you today and observe them. It's just that simple, guys. It's just that simple. You can't want the blessings without knowing that curses will come if you disobey. You can't have it one way. It's both ways with God. He's an honorable and just God. Okay? Period. Now, look at verse 12, the same chapter. If you don't have a study Bible, please get your study Bible. Okay? It's blessings of obedience. Blessings of obedience is what we're going to talk about, starting in verse 12. I underlined it and highlighted it in your notes. Listen to what it says in quotations. Then, after everything that I've said, then it shall come to pass because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep you the covenant and mercy which he swore to your fathers. Just that simple. Blessings of obedience. Okay? But break that down. See, preachers do it like this. Break that down. It says, then it shall come to pass. Because, so it shall come to pass, shall come to fruition. Why? Because you did what? You listened, you kept, you do. Then the Lord your God will keep. See, I build a sermon on those key words right there and preach it for the next hour. Blessings of obedience. It shall come to pass because you listen, you kept, you did them. Then the Lord will keep everything that he says. Faith without works is dead. If you have faith in the word and in the Lord, keep his commandments. Do your part. And then the blessings will flow. Amen. Verse 13. And he, the Most High God, capital H, to my young people, my teenagers, it's little keys like that. If you see little g God, that's not the Most High God. That's fake gods. And when you see the verses talking about God, it will always capitalize the reference, the noun, the pronoun, that reverence God. It will always be in capital. So when you're reading it, if you see in capital in the middle of the sentence, then you know that we're talking about God, okay? If it said little h, then they're talking about Moses at this time in the context, okay? So, and he, capital H, means God, will love you and bless you and multiply you. All that's lowercase. He, capital, meaning God, will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land in the land of which he swore to your fathers and give you. Wait a minute. Let's hit those key words again. He will love you. So if I'm obedient, here's what's going to happen. You hear me, cuz? Here's what's going to happen. I'm obedient. One thing. I'm obedient. He's going to love me, bless me, multiply me, bless the fruit of the womb. Okay? Fruit of the womb is what? Your children. The fruit of the land, your crops, everything that you grow. And it specifies your grain, your new wine, your oil, and increase your cattle even. The offsprings of the cattle, your offsprings and your cattle's offsprings. Oh, my God. In the land which he swore to your fathers to give you, and you'll have the blessing of the land. You see all those blessings that flow when all you got to do is be obedient. And you wonder why the blessings aren't flowing in your life. Look at the scripture. Be obedient. Honor his word. And watch the blessings flow. And blessings don't have to do anything with money 99% of the time. He will multiply your children. He will love you. He will bless you. He will bless your crops. Bless your land. A lot of times it has nothing to do with money. Get your mindset off of money. He will allow every bill to be paid without giving you a dollar. In this pandemic right now, you have people that cannot pay their bills, but all of their bills are paid through things, all these plans and government actions that are put into place. You didn't receive a dollar, but you received the okay not to even pay those bills. That's still a blessing because you didn't have the money to pay it in this day and time. So sometimes it's not receiving money to receive a blessing. Okay, let's move right along so I can finish this up. Verse 14, you shall be blessed above all peoples. And not only that, he says, there shall not be a male or female bearing among you or among your livestock. Why? Because he just said he will multiply your seed and your livestock seed. So then he bagged it up by saying you won't be barren. Teenagers, that means that everyone will be able to multiply their seed. The men and women will be able to have children, and the cattle will be able to have offsprings of their flock, young people. That's what it's saying, okay? And excuse me, are you senior saints? Sometimes I got to explain things because I want all age groups to get it, okay? Verse 15, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. Oh, my God. You mean they won't be sick either? And will afflict you, and will afflict with none of the terrible diseases that Egypt dealt with. So everything your forefathers saw, the plagues and all of that, you won't have to endure that. Oh my God. But, comma, but will lay them on all those who hate you. You won't be sick. Because God never intended his people to be sick. People, our bodies are built. You hear this every day by scientists. Our bodies are built to heal themselves. But that's another story for another day. Okay, verse 16. And also, you shall destroy all the people whom the Lord your God delivers over to you. Your eyes shall have no pity on them, nor shall you serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you. Okay? You shall not be afraid of them, verse 18. Verse 21, you shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is presently among you. 22, and the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. And don't get caught up on that. It just means that you can't conquer everybody at once and overtake all their wealth and their land and their cattle. You got to do it bit by bit and drive them out little by little. That's what it says. And get used to having that cattle and go to different pastures and organize everything. That's all the same. Okay. When it says little by little. So now look at chapter 8, and we're moving right along. We got about 10 to 15 minutes. Just to finish chapter 8, perfect timing. Chapter 8 clearly says in the heading, remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe that you may live, one, multiply to and go in and possess the land which I swore to your fathers. Three, you're going to live, you're going to multiply, and you're going to possess the land. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all for those 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, that you would keep his commandments. Verse three, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. Just so what? And fed you so that you know where your blessings come from, with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the mouth of the Lord, the Most High. Verse 4, your garments did not wear out. He provided food and clothing for you. Your garments did not wear out, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Foot swelling means get sick and die. Okay? He provided for you. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord Yahweh, the Most High God, your God, chastens you. The Bible says, he whom he loves, he chastises. My father chastised me growing up because he loved me, and it was his job to raise me. My mother, the same. That's why you get chastised, because they love you. So that is what it is saying. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, land flowing with milk and honey, okay? Verse 9, in which you will lack nothing. Wow. So verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. So you won't forget, if you practice these rules and regulations and laws and commandments and statutes, it will keep the forefront of your mind to be committed and obedient to God, who brought you here and who have given you all these blessings. Now, look at 12 through 20, the end of the chapter. I underlined all of this. Listen to this. Least when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up. Listen to the heart of Moses, how he's speaking. And when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, your previous generations, your fathers, your forefathers, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water for you out of the filthy rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Wow. Least you say, I did it all, and not giving God the credit. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, my God, and he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, and it is this day. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, get this, people, I testify against you this day, listen to Moses, that you shall surely perish, die. Remember what he said, to your face you shall perish if you hate me. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, as meaning just as, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Boom. I finished 2 minutes early. What is he saying? This old man used this phrase that I would never forget because it was hilarious to me. He says, when you're a quarter above feeding yourself, you start filling yourself and forget where you came from. What that means is Moses is telling the people, when all your wealth and substance has multiplied, your land, your children, your wealth, your flocks, your gold, your silver, your bronze, your houses, when all of these things have multiplied, don't forget from whom your blessings flow. You're going to start filling yourself, hyping yourself up and saying, I did it, me. I did it. And you're going to forget where your blessings come from. And if you do that, you will be punished. You will be cursed. You will perish. Just as the other nations are destroyed, you will be destroyed before the face of God. If you don't get that, you miss the whole purpose of Deuteronomy. You have to get that in your spirit. Moses is telling them, blessings if you obey, cursings if you do not obey. All of these things that I'm teaching seem so very simple because it's my goal to keep them simple. You're getting a lot of theory, but you just don't get it because it doesn't sound like a lot of theory is what I'm trying to say, because I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. Okay? I'm not trying to wow you and impress you. I'm trying to get you to understand it with all age groups and all educational levels to understand simply what the Bible is saying. That's the vision that God gave me for this Bible study. And that's how I will keep it. It's not about my opinion. It's not about what Reverend Corey Evans Sr. think. I don't care that I have a degree that's on the wall in theology. That does not matter. What matters is only what the Lord, the Most High God, says. It's not what I say. It's not my opinion. It's not my thoughts. It is what we read and study from the Word of God. The reason why we see things that we see today is listed in these scriptures. And the reason why we do not understand what we see today is because we are not studying the Bible word for word, letter upon letter, precept upon precept, verse upon verse, as it was written and intended for us to learn it. Because our Bible studies are topical Bible studies just put together to make you feel good. The word was never meant for that. It's a two-edged sword. It's blessings and cursings. It cuts and it heals. Y'all gonna make me preach at the end of this line. Hold up. Let me calm down. So that concludes, I digress. That concludes this session, chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, okay? 5, 6, 7, and 8, remember the Lord your God, okay? The blessings of obedience. You are a chosen people, a peculiar nation, a royal priesthood. It gave caution against disobedience. It reminded you of the great commandment. Remember the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your being. Love him and honor him. The people was afraid and honor God's presence. And he reviewed the commandments which he gave to them. That's chapter 5 through 8. Okay. Which is session 44, chapter 5 through 8 of Back to Basics Bible Study of chapter 5 through 8, Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the book of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the five books. We are working our way through the laws of the books of Moses. Amen. And we will walk the Bible book by book. I promise you that. I give you my word on that. That's the reason why Back to Basics Bible Study was given to me. And that's the vision that I will always put forth to the people. We will study it book by book, chapter by chapter. Amen? Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. As I always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I thank you for coming on to this line. I thank you for viewing it.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.